Hello.
Hello, welcome to Uwe Boll Raw USA. I'm Gary Otto. We're here with Dr. Uwe Boll. How are you, my friend?
Good. It's rainy in Germany, what I'm actually like right now, because it got too hot, too dry. So it's good that we had a few days now where every day we had some rain coming down. And today was the last day of school here. And now it's the summer holidays time coming, and also my son KJ from Vancouver will come tomorrow. So
great.
And then we are with the whole family here. We will go 1 week to Spain in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and KJ is doing, as every year here, a soccer camp.
Yeah,
he's doing that since he's five. So there are like very soccer camps. They are every day from 9 to 4. So you have like a long time training and you're totally exhausted after. So the right thing for a teenager, basically, you know.
Now, yeah.
So what's going on with you? Like, how hot is it where you are?
Oh, God. It's extremely hot here in Florida. I don't know. Was like 110 degrees, I want to say.
Oh, really hot. Oh, God. Yeah, so air conditioning it is. And
yeah, I've been staying inside. I've been trying to stay away from the sun. You know, I did go out and I drank a lot of water when I did go out. It hit me pretty hard. I don't know. But everybody out there, make sure you're drinking a lot of water. Even if it doesn't seem like it, you're probably dehydrated because it's been so fucking hot lately, like Uwe Boll says.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, so we are like talking about first shift. Post-production is continuing. Around August 20, we will have the film finished and the trailer also. It looks like it's cheaper and better maybe to mix the film and the trailer together. So if we have to finish the trailer before, it will cost like another $4,000 or $5,000 extra, what is kind of a waste of money. If you do both together, it's just 3 more weeks before we can release the trailer. So
yeah, it's okay. Good idea.
Yeah. And then I looked in a lot of film news. So Netflix came up with their numbers, and the numbers growed because this kind of sharing is over, right? People need their own account at Netflix. And this family sharing is basically got cut down. So they sold 5 million more subscriptions, but not to new people, just to the same people. But they couldn't share with too many other people their subscription. So the
yeah, I wonder how Netflix can tell if you're like logging. How can they tell that family members are logging in? The IP address, maybe? I don't know.
Not the family member, but it's, for example, we have Netflix in Canada, and I'm watching that here in Germany too. So the same subscription. So, and now, but Angelina, the daughter from my wife, is in Canada, watches Netflix. So,
okay.
You know, so, and I mean, so far we got off the hook. Hopefully nobody's listening to this, but I assume that that is exactly a situation where Netflix would contact you and say, you know, it cannot be that somebody's watching it in Vancouver and somebody watching it in Germany. So you need 2 subscriptions.
Yeah, that's funny, huh?
Yeah. So right now I don't get this, but or it's different. It could be also the other way around, that only real family members can be on a subscription. So it means,
yeah,
you know, you live with 2 buddies and they find out these 2 buddies are also watching Netflix, then boom, over. Like, they need their own subscription.
Yeah.
Maybe this, you know. So, I don't actually really know how it all turns out, but the stock went 8% down after the annual conference. Even if there was more money, they made more money. And I think What Ted Sarandos said was actually funny. He said, now where everybody's on strike, we're getting more cash. Because, of course, they don't spend money on productions right now. So, I mean, it is just, of course, biting them in the ass next year when they have nothing, no new shows. But right now, Netflix has at least 100 new shows on the shelf, what they can release week by week. So they are fine till winter.
Yeah. I heard there's a lot of movies that they're sitting on right now that are in pre-production or post-production, excuse me, like that Borderlands movie that's based on the video game. But I heard that it's so bad that the Borderlands movie is supposed to be so terrible that the guy who wrote The Last of Us on TV, he took his name off the project because it's like in development hell, but that will come out soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, The Last of Us was really good.
And, yes.
So that means this guy has taste, and then he maybe saw what's happening and felt, I don't want to destroy my reputation, because The Last of Us season 2 is greenlit and in Vancouver. And
yes.
But it's not getting shot right now, but they're in prep.
But I mean, look at the Borderlands video game. All it is like shoot someone, go back home, do it again, over and over. It's like, how can you turn that into a fucking movie? No wonder it's bad.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't hear some good stuff about it, but I heard very good stuff about Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so visually amazing. Yeah, just a crazy film. I will watch it alone because it's not nothing for the family. And I think I will just watch it for myself. It's big theatrical movie, basically.
Are you going to go out to the theater to go see
it? Yeah, I watch it in the theater because I felt when I watched the trailer in the theater, it was like a totally different world as if you watch that at home.
Good.
You know, it's like, look at Tenet, the film, the last Nolan film.
That sucked.
Yeah, it was not a good film. But when you sit in a movie theater and you have that opening sequence in that opera thing with like 2,000 extras,
that was
amazing.
Yeah.
It was big. And I think Oppenheimer is just a better story. It's a real story, so he cannot be too like playful or whatever. Like, I think he has to tell it how it actually happened. And so I think from this point of view, my expectations are way higher as I was on Tenet. And I agree, Tenet, I gave a shit like halfway through the movie. I gave a shit what's happening.
Yeah.
You know,
plus, just, you know, Oppenheimer is his first R-rated movie in 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, of the budgets, right? So he always tries to now to do PG-13 because he spends like $300 million.
I mean,
it's insane what money he.
Well, he's like their top director. At least he was at Warner's. I think that the new film is under Universal now because he got pissed at how they released Tenet. They released it in the theater and on streaming at the same time, I believe.
Yeah. What else I wanted to say? The strike. So the strike continues, and they're all blaming each other and flipping out on each other. And right now, it doesn't look like there is even negotiations, to be honest. I didn't read one article where it's written, okay, they're sitting in one room trying to get it over with so far. So,
yeah, I don't know. It doesn't look too good. It looks like, like you said, there's a lot of angry people right now. And I agree with what you and Hulk Mark Ruffalo said, to jump into indies. Everybody should just abandon the Hollywood system and jump into indies, because that wouldn't be against the strike, would it?
Yes, that is what, exactly. I think they should, they should
yeah
see what they can do when big actors, they have the power to get an audience, to get sales. So they should use their marketing power to co-produce in a way that they join with independent filmmakers and making smaller films bigger because they're in it. And then they get small-time directors having an actual career, right? So, and can gain traction and can get bigger films and so on. I think right now it's this kind of closed shop for everybody who's doing basically streaming stuff. And they're all like, in a way, bitter because they don't have like multi-million income, but they're constantly busy. I know like a lot of film crews and people like gaffer, whatever, electricians, whatever. And they, I mean, they're now fucked because it's a strike. But before the strike, the last 5, 6, 7 years, they jumped from show to show to show to show. They were so busy. When they always called Vancouver and asked like Jonathan Shore, the post supervisor, or Sean Williamson, producer. And they said, it's so busy. It's unbelievable. Of course, because all that screamers came out of nowhere. And then they all started to do originals. They all started doing TV shows. And from Hulu to Tubi to Mubi to Roku, like there are so many streamers, stars, whatever. Like there is a lot of things going on, not only Netflix, Amazon, Apple, you know, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus. But so means they make shitloads of money. If you're a good crew person, the last 5, 6 years were like... You could do 250, 280 shooting days a year. And if you make, I mean, right now, people, they make between 500 and 900 bucks a day if you are like a very good grip guy and so on. So you make a lot of money, you know. So, and for them, everything came to a halt now where they now are a little pissed about. But I think all this shows, they were also done because actors in a way sold out to them.
Yeah,
you know, they just took the money. Oh, 13 episodes, it's 100 shooting days for me, 100 times 25,000 bucks, like, because that is money what people get, like with real names, like not like the superstars, like the second tier actors, they getting so much money. And so they could make shitloads of money, and they did. As I always said, there are like 50 actors, they make unbelievable amounts of money. And there are another around 700, 800 actors. They're making exceptional good money, exceptional good money, seven figures a year, because they are in two TV shows as regulars. So, you know, so, I mean, with 160,000 actors in the Screen Actors Guild, it's still only 1% who really makes a big living out of it, right?
So, yeah.
But this other 160,000, they will also, after the strike, not getting rich, not getting booked and booked and booked, you know? So, but I... I think this people with some value, with some sales power, they should, they really should play a little more also in independent films where they don't take 25 million, where also the supporting people don't take 25,000 a day, where they do it for 2,000 a day. You know,
yeah.
That would help. Now, yeah. That is, that I think that subject matter will continue for us over the summer.
Yeah, I'm sure this is going to go on for some time. So we will have a lot to say about that. In other news, just now, it says Tony Bennett has died at 96 years old.
I know. I mean, he's one of these guys where you think, oh, he's still alive. You know, like 96. Well,
he did something with Lady Gaga not too long ago, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I mean, amazing singer. You know, who's the other guy? Tom Jones.
Oh yeah, Tom Jones. Is he still alive?
I have to check here. Tom Jones. Yeah, he is. And he is You can buy concert tour dates.
Oh
He is
boy.
on in London, in Munich, in Bucharest. He's everywhere.
Oh boy.
In 83.
Okay.
Delilah. She's a lady. Sex bomb. I never fall in love again.
What?
You know the songs. I mean, they are like they are like extremely worldwide known.
Yeah.
Hey, 1 second.
Did you hear about Britney Spears getting slapped in the face?
No, I don't know. You know. Hear it?
A little louder.
So that was him.
Yeah.
She got slapped in the face from who? From a fan or what?
No, she was like, she was going up to some celebrity, and then his bodyguard like backhanded her because she like touched him.
I saw only on Twitter Lady Gaga like kissing that woman. Did you saw this? It was on Twitter.
I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised because she's kissed ladies before.
I know, but it was so strange. So she walks by and there's a crowd on the street, and an older woman, like she was at least 50, was like yelling, "You're going to hell." And then Lady Gaga stopped, walked over to her, kissed her, and said, "And you go with me."
Yeesh. Okay.
But that shows she has humor, right? So, I mean, I have to say. So, it's not so easy to do something like this. And the Canadian company Braun went bankrupt. That is very interesting because they were from Vancouver. And I bet you saw a lot of films where in the beginning of the film was a logo Braun.
Yeah, like they did Joker. I can't remember what else.
Yeah, The Mule.
Okay.
Was in Clint Eastwood. They did, let me see here what else they did. They did a lot of things. They did Blackbird. They did HBO's Euphoria. They were involved. The Idol, The Morning Show. Tar with Kate Blanchett playing that conductor. The horror hit X, Bombshell, Capone, The Survivor, Greyhound, Legally Blonde, Robocop, like the newer Robocop.
Ugh, that's shit. Garbage.
Yeah. And I think it's very interesting because living in Vancouver and nobody in Vancouver from the film industry had any contact to Braun. Nobody really knew them, but they were existing and they were only like, they never produced that films. They only put some money in what they raised somewhere and then gave the producers the money. And not the money for the film, like 10%, 15%, 20% of the film. And then, so they did like closing financing and stuff like this. And now they went under. And I think, A, they betted on really bad films from time to time. And we all know if you go in a very successful film, you're not necessarily getting the money what they owe you.
Yeah.
You know? If it's Warner Brothers, it's The Joker, and it was a smash hit. So if you, let's say, The Joker, I don't know how expensive The Joker was, the first one, but it was not the most expensive superhero film.
Yeah.
You know, it was more like an outsider, kind of a horror, crazy film, and I loved it. So it was maybe 100 million. So let's say 100 million that Braun put 10 in, they should got 10% of whatever. Of course they didn't, because it's typical waterfall model that the studios first recoup all of their costs and all the advertising costs and so on. And because The Joker, I think, made almost half or more as half a billion box office.
Yeah, let's see. It says the budget for Joker was... Hold on. It was $64 million.
Yeah, so very cheap for a superhero film in a way, right?
Yeah.
Look, and it did $1,074 million at the box office.
Wow. Big hit.
Yeah, so that should basically make sure that you don't get bankrupt anymore. if you hold 10% of this, put the streaming revenues in, the TV revenues, the pay TV revenues, even DVD and Blu-ray revenues, this film made up 1.5 to 1.8 billion.
Well, if you look at the budget versus the returns, it says right here in Forbes that Joker in 2019 was the most profitable comic book movie ever made.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because everything else costs 250 million to make, like The Dark Knight and Suicide Squad and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean, but that is the thing, you know. I don't think that they got the fair share paid. I don't think they, you know. But I remembered I tried to go in contact with them, and they totally didn't even wanted to talk to me, like. I'm under the level. They're only in the studio world, whatever, right? But now they went under, and it's strange that that firm, that company, in a way, growed at all, because the people who run it, like that couple, they were not really successful before, or did like real films ever before. So it's kind of strange, you know. So
Well,
yeah.
they get what they deserve because look at how they treated you. You know, it's karma.
Yeah, in a way, you know. So when you're like disrespectful, too many people in Hollywood are this. They're getting silent on everybody. They don't treat everybody the same. They're so like starstruck and stuff like this. And they kiss the ass upstairs, you know, the stairs up. They kiss everybody's ass, and they kick everybody down below. And that is, in a way, what the streamers in Hollywood did with a lot of the actors, a lot of the writers. You know, because as I just said, there's a reason that I said, like, as technical crew, you could make shitloads of money, and people make shitloads of money, and they're just a technical crew. And now you have the creative people, you know, who like actors and writers. I mean, without them, there's no film. And they're getting a lot of them, really, when you read now the articles. I read in Vanity Fair an article about how less money they actually made. There are a lot of people that actually cannot survive on their jobs. And that is kind of like crazy, right? So, I mean, we all know there are people, they have no talent, you know, and they are basically cab drivers, but not actors, but they think they are actors. So, you know, but we know also there is a lot of talent out there, and they don't get the right chance. And I'm talking now about, or whatever, the Vanity Fair article, they talk about basically. There are people that have jobs, and they're writing for successful TV shows, and they're acting in successful TV shows, and they cannot survive. And I think that is new. You know, that is really new. That the pay is so shitty. Like Mandy Moore showed her zero, like her 8 cent residual check she got. You know, the envelope is more expensive where they send the checkout with, I mean, and the mail costs. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, we will see. You know, we are looking for getting an extension, not an exception from SAG for our film, what we should want to shoot in the 12-hour thing in South Africa. You
Yeah.
know, because full independent films. The SAG said actors are okay to play in this kind of films. So now I don't want to waste time. I want to go to bigger actors who have nothing to do right now and say, look, we have that exemption. Do that film with me. Maybe it's another chance. You know?
Yeah, you know, show them the script, maybe the strength of the script and the current situation combined will get them to say yes. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, how will they think about it, right? A lot of people say, oh, I don't want to look like a strike breaker. You know, they don't want that somebody flips out on them because they just do a nice film in South Africa or something. On the other hand, if you're a name actor, this is now the moment where you can actually help independent filmmakers like me in just saying, why not? I mean, they're not hurting anybody with it. You know?
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, and then you tweeted something about Hunter Biden. What was it again that he tweeted?
So, okay, so you heard what Marjorie Taylor Greene did?
No, you have to tell me.
So she was addressing. Wait, hold on a second. Da, 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 da. She showed explicit photos of Hunter Biden having sex while she was up at the stand at a congressional hearing. Let's see. I'm opening it up now. So the Georgia Republican held up a series of posters with images of Hunter Biden naked and photos of him engaging in sex acts. And she's saying that he used funds, appropriated them for prostitutes, and your taxpayer dollars paid for his prostitutes and all this other shit. But Democrats are saying that it's completely inappropriate, that she's just trying to do a smear campaign. And I don't know. I say if Hunter Biden is out there fucking prostitutes, great, awesome, good for him. You know, more power to you. Like, the Republicans are trying to put twists on it to try and make it seem so sinister. They're like, Hunter Biden rapes these forced into servitude prostitutes. Like, what? Give me a break. You know, it's like these are just working girls who want some money. And I don't know. He seems like a pretty interesting guy to me, if you want my personal opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not into Hunter Biden and I don't want to see him.
I
That
don't want to see it either. I think it's
makes
fucking hilarious, though.
sense.
Like, imagine going to the congressional hearing and then you see Hunter Biden getting a BJ. That'd be like, what?
That would be not so good. So,
But
no, but
I think it's
still
funny.
don't get over Hunter Biden. It's so funny, right? So you have Trump getting like four times indicted. He's still running around. I just thought about today, seeing again like how shitty the situation for Julian Assange is in jail still, right? He's like
Oh yeah, that's true.
confinement, right? So he's in confinement. He's not in any form like meeting other prisoners and so on for years and years now. And you think like Trump, every single time he's surrounded, he goes to the whatever indictment and then he walks away. Like, okay, now meet you in 5.5 years when actually the trial happens. You know, stuff like this. And then you have this guy who who is basically incarcerated since 15, like 12, 13 years. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, poor guy. He probably has a lot of mental health issues by now. I feel bad for him.
No, he has mental health and not only mental health issues, because we all know like your mental health is extremely connected to your physically health, you know. So I mean, both in getting very bad infiltrated from each other, and to not have enough sunlight, to be in the jail cell that drags you so down that you get physically ill too. And you know, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I'm so pissed about this. I cannot even tell you. It's like that is a real thing. Like where I feel I fail as a Democrat, as I fail as human being, that I'm not able in the free West to get that guy out of jail.
Yeah, it sucks that Biden nor Trump is willing to extend any clemency to this poor dude who just tried to do the right thing, you know?
Yes, and I think but it's time. You know, I mean, what happened to that term time served? You
Yeah.
know, I mean, you cannot undo the time he did already. And I mean, how long you want to incarcerate him for putting stuff in the internet? What were war crimes and everything? You know?
The problem is that the United States tries to make examples of people too often. So for them, they don't want anyone else to try what he did. So they use him as an example. Like, look at him. If you're not careful, you'll end up just like him. And it sucks. It's a way of kind of oppressing people. It's a way of keeping people down. It's a way of keeping people who know, like if somebody saw a crime being committed and thought, oh my God, that could be me next. I could be just like Assange. They're not going to, you know, be a whistleblower. They're not going to do what's right because they're too scared. That's all that the, all that this is just to dissuade other people.
I know, but the whole time talking in the US, still talking nonstop about how important whistleblowers are.
Yeah. No, it's very hypocritical.
You know, it's a total joke. And I don't get it. You know, how they say it on the one hand, when they want the whistleblower, they're all about protecting whistleblowers. And when a whistleblower is doing something what they don't like, it's all about prosecution and treason. You know, and because they go for treason against Assange, but he's an Australian guy and was doing all the shit in Europe from his offices. So it's totally absurd. Yeah. You know, it's the whole thing is also legally totally fucked up and absurd. And I totally don't get it. But how they can even stop the British government all that years that shows the British are like pussies, like they're licking the ass from the Americans the whole time. Why they don't let him go and say, fuck you, America. We give a shit. He was long enough here. Bye.
Yeah. You know? Everybody's scared of America. They're scared of retribution. You know, they're scared of getting their funds cut off or whatever.
Yeah. Today they released a list with what passport you get into the most countries without a visa. And the USA was on that list. The number one country 7 years ago.
Oh,
and
God.
I went down to number 8. So means as a US citizen with a US passport, you're not getting in all the countries anymore without a visa, because the reputation of US went downhill. And now they're only on position 8. On position 1 was Singapore. If you are from Singapore, you
holy get, shit.
You get, I was surprised too. You get in 194 countries without a visa. Number 2 was Italy, Spain, and Germany, all three together on number 2. You get in over 191 countries without a visa. And the US is on number 8, and I think you get only in 170 or 168 countries without a visa. So, so they're bullying their way through the world, and then they get this in return. You know, like they make the travel harder. And, we're all like, you are American, and I work in America and everything, so it's nothing that we are against the country, but there is so much things they are so bad where you feel like, why they handle it this way, you know?
Well, I agree that the system is not fair. I think that the system will get much worse under Donald Trump if he is reelected. I read that he wants to make the president have control of all of the independent departments, like the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission. They want the president to have the final say. They also want the president to be able to dump programs that he doesn't see fit. Even if Congress has approved funds to be used, the president can veto that personally. He wants to add all of these crazy things that he has total control over our country, in like it's like he's the king or like a dictator or something, and it's gonna fuck our country up.
Yeah, and it's on the Republicans to make it impossible.
They're not gonna do that. They're gonna go all for it because then they'll have total control. They don't care about what's right. They care about control. They care about power, and they're also like, how can all these Christians, all of these religious folks get on board with this when they're so obviously trying to strike back at their enemies? They're doing like everything. Would Jesus approve of Trump? I highly doubt it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, No, it's totally right what you say. I also like my gut feeling tells me that Trump will not go to jail and will not get he gets indicted, but nothing will happen. He will be the candidate of the Republicans. They will go with Biden and he will win the election. For me, if I have to bet, if Trump goes against Biden, who wins the election, I'm not sure. I say it's basically really 50-50. And I think he will maybe destroy him in the TV duels if Biden is doing them. I think Trump will destroy him. Trump has a very good rhetoric ability to read the room, to see what to say in that specific situation. He adjusts to the audience, he adjusts to the room. And he has like very simple answers to everything. And that is exactly what people want to hear. You want a simple answer, right? I had a whole, I watched a, it was like a talk show in Germany about it. And they talked about the climate change issue, right? And they said, you have two sides of it. That because both sides of the population basically want it simple. So the one think climate change is a hoax. It doesn't matter. The weather is hot today, good, tomorrow bad. We cannot do anything about it. It's all bullshit. Ignore it. So they said, oh, there was ice ages before. There were heat waves. A normal biological thing what's happening now. So that are like the total climate change denier. And they are maybe 30% of the population, 20, 30%. So, and then you have the people they think that is the most important subject matter on earth. And but they also don't want to admit that a lot of things happened already and you cannot undo them. They don't see it necessary that the economy still has to go forward and that we cannot quickly change everything to electricity because the electricity also gets normally manufactured in nuclear plants and gas plants and coal plants and so on. So, and they don't want to hear that. So they say, if I don't have a car anymore and I do only Uber, if I whatever don't eat meat, if I do this, the climate crisis will get solved and everybody has to do what I'm doing. Not going with the airplane on holidays, if everybody would do it, but it's not true. It's not true because when you see the world popul the world exhaust basically the pollution situation, you see that even if North America and Europe would do this and go completely climate neutral, we only would change 30%. So then, of course, people have a good point to say why we should get all poor and miserable and we don't travel anymore, we don't have cars, we don't have fun, we don't eat a steak, so we suffer and we still completely don't change anything because in India and China are like 3 billion people and they do whatever the fuck they want.
I read the other day that because of this heat wave that the United States is trying to talk to China about lowering some of those gases, some of those some of the pollution. So let's see, because I mean, if anybody wants proof that climate change is real and you want it really simple, look at this heat wave. Think it could get so much worse. It could get so bad that we won't even be able to go outside. You know what I mean?
No, and I mean, we both say climate change is real, of course, you
Yeah.
know, but the answer to fight it is, of course, way more complicated.
Yeah.
As a lot of people just think it is.
Like you say. Yeah,
Yes,
because
no, it's and
I
it's.
could be vegan tomorrow and it would make no difference. Maybe if everybody on Earth got up and did it at once, it would make a difference, but
Yeah, but it's also there were turning points already then. The ice will melt.
you
Like
think it's too late?
the South Pole, they will melt, right? So it's like you cannot do it anymore because the deep water, like the deep, deep water, is too warm already. And it takes like 50 years before you change this around that it gets colder, you know. So maybe there is an ice age coming again, or not an ice age, but that things get back. But for this, it would need hundreds of years. We fucked in 120, 130 years the Earth up because we polluted so much after the Second World War. Everything was economic growth, also in the Third World. Everybody had coal plants, gas plants, oil plants, and everybody was full on polluting the world since 1940. And that was just too much. When the awareness came to panic in the last 15 years, where more and more panic came, all the things now are important, but they cannot turn a lot of things completely around. But I totally agree with you. But what can turn around is that, for example, the air gets better.
And if they work with China, because look how big China is, you know what I mean?
Yes. You know, I told you when I was in China, every hotel room had a gas mask.
Huh, really? Yeah.
Yes, because the pollution was so bad outside with all I was in the south of China. So, and there were all that coal plants and whatever. And I mean, you are in cities, they have like 40, 50 million population.
Wow.
And I mean, think about that, right? So they all use coal. And I mean, if you say they have nice filters, forget it. They're just breathing it in. They give a shit. And it's like, they had the gas mask for people. Like if you really short breath, you put the gas mask on.
Yeah.
That is China, you know? And then you see, okay, you know what? What we want to do. So I think we have to protect our environment. Everything what is green, we have to protect the animals and the nature, and we have to especially stop cutting the Amazon forest down, and then things will get better, but over 10, 20, up to 100 years. It will be a long process of getting better. So, but we need to take, of course, we do it first, but we need to give the third world, where the most of the people on Earth live, basically, we need opportunity, and we have to help them changing their way to use energy.
Help Brazil.
You know, instead of having, instead of having wars, we should focus on this. You know, whole dispute between China and US is so childish. Both sides, like, you have basically three big blocks of the European Union with 440 million people. Then you have China and India with 3 billion people or even more. And then you have North America with like also 390 million or 380 million, including Canada. So, you know, and it's so fight. Instead of like, look, we have only one Earth, let's work together. And yeah, you get richer. India and China, they gained so much wealth in the last 20 years, and it will continue. It will even out with Europe and US, but it will not even out if we all go on a war. You know, if we all go out just flipping completely out on each other and just trying to destroy the other side, because what will happen to the economic growth if Europe is gone, you know, or if China is gone, nothing gets produced anymore for North America, and we're all depending on each other. So, and I hate it that everybody tries the whole time to get that advantage, but they're not aware that they're destroying then their own economy. If China destroys Americans' economy, they're destroying their own economy at the same time.
Look at Russia pulling out. Russia pulled out of the Green Deal not too long ago. That fucks China pretty hard. Yes. And the rest of the world food economy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I said in my German podcast, not podcast, but in my Overboard Raw videos, I said that deal what Russia with Ukraine had because of the corn and what's the name of it?
Yeah.
Whatever. So the day that thing expired, the same day that deal expired, Russia said, we're not continuing it. And I'm not surprised, because what happened the day before? They bombed the bridge to the Krim.
Yeah.
Again, you know, so that there's the only connection is that bridge. They bombed the bridge, and the U.S. delivered the first, like, the cluster bombs to the.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
They delivered the first few bombs to the Ukraine, and I mean, they are not allowed per like war convention, Geneva Convention, whatever. They're not allowed to use. And the U.S. gave them to Ukraine. Of course, they use them on the Russians. And that is the thing. How can you think that Putin then says, oh, I don't care about all of this. We just sign and you are peacefully can export your now, what is the fucking word for it? Not corn.
The grain.
The grain. Yeah. And yeah, you can peacefully, we help you transporting it out. I mean, of course he will say no. And that is what I don't get. It's like, that is what I meant was you have to be always able to see things from both sides. And that we're not willing to do that with Russia. We're just not willing to do that. We think he's a crime gangster guy who should be in jail. Yeah, I know. But the world is not like an air balloon, like you have three wishes free place. Putin has the biggest nuclear armed weapons in the world, even more as America. So, and how can we treat him like this? Yeah, he's a fucking asshole, but there are other assholes too where we don't flip completely out. You know, so, and that is the thing. I mean, you cannot do this. You have to tell also the Ukrainians, because of course the Ukrainians bombed the Krim Bridge, you know, because the Ukrainians want that Putin doesn't do the deal anymore, so that the whole world says, Putin is an asshole. Now people will starve because of it. That's all. The Ukrainians go to the jugular. Like Zelensky doesn't care about humans and his own population. He cares only about he wants to win that war. End of the story.
Yeah. No, yeah. I saw that. I've read about that too. I read about how Zelensky is hyper focused on winning the war. And he doesn't care what expense. And if you are against the war, then you should be. If you are against Ukraine winning the war, then you should be put in jail. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, you know, that is the thing. Now, yeah. Okay, so then for today, I keep you informed about everything. And hopefully I have more news to first shift soon also.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of first shift, so Matt, he asked me for a copy of the script so that he could start his book.
Ah, good. The script I can send to you. I have thought you want the film right now, but
He wants the film too, but he wants to get an early start and read the script. Of course, there will be differences between the movie and the book. So he's going to also wait for the movie. But we can get an early start on it by if you send me the screenplay.
Yeah, I do it right now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in to Uwe Ball Raw USA. I'm Gary Otto, Gary Otto Zero on Twitter. Uwe Ball is Uwe Ball 7 on Twitter. Please follow us and the Uwe Ball Raw USA main hub on Twitter, and we will see you next time.
Perfect. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, guys. Bye.